Well, good morning.
I tell you, I'm a little bit surprised at all the activity we have verbally going on in here this morning. That means everybody's still awake. That's great. Hey, what a great time it was yesterday, was it not? Just to see what God has done and continues to do. I tell you, I'm so thankful for His blessings. It's a privilege. It's an honor to serve Him, is it not? Just to give the gospel of Christ. And just good to see everybody here and have you with us. And, you know, I'm getting a kick out of it. I'm like, you know, it's not every day you wake up in Clinton, Connecticut, and you hear a rooster and a cow and a goat, you know? That alone kind of stands out there. But it's at our house it is, right? I'm talking about the four-legged kind, not the two-legged. We have that, but good to have everybody. I tell you, I'm thankful for what everybody has done. The building looks beautiful, all the time that it's taken to decorate. If you have a handout there, your bulletin, there's a little insert there. I was going to read this to start our services here this morning. It's actually by my father-in-law. He began a tradition years ago, and he started giving it to all of the family just at Christmas time, and then we encouraged him. He started mailing it. Many of you get that. But I just wanted to read this to you. I thought it was neat. The first Sunday in December, and by the way, Merry Christmas. That's right. I love that when they say Happy Holidays in the store, and I yell Merry Christmas to them as loud as I can. It's a good thing. But this one was written in 1998, entitled The Christmas Tree, and it says, "What is that you really see when you gaze upon a Christmas tree? Is it an oak that's all bare and round with its branches pointing at the ground? Or an evergreen tree pointing toward the sky, its branches curved toward the one on high? Is it decked with idols of silver and gold? There is no life and no story to be told. Or decked with many ornaments of glory, full of meaning and telling a story? What is it that you really see when you gaze upon a Christmas tree? A tree fashioned by man's hammer and saw, or by man's creator, someone he never saw? Do you really bow down to worship your tree, or him who died on Calvary to set men free? Do you see branches covered with needles, or arms spread wide to drive in nails? Oak is odorless and gives no sense. The pine smells like frankincense. What is it that I really see when I gaze upon a Christmas tree? I see a rugged cross way up on the hill. They took my Jesus, whom they could not kill. As I look at the tree, my eyes catch the light. It reminds me of him who came in the night. The top of the tree has an angel or star. It guided wise men that night from afar, with gifts for him, King of the Jews, so we can go and tell the good news. What is it that I really see when I gaze upon a Christmas tree? A pile of gifts for those whom we love, to remind us of his gift, the one from above. Underneath the tree there is a manger of hay. What a lowly place for God's baby that day. A tree at his birth and one for his death. What an ironic way of telling the truth. How caustic it seems he made the tree they nailed him onto to set us free. What is it that you really see when you gaze upon a Christmas tree? A tree without color or leaves or life, or one Jesus died on to end all our strife? One with no meaning and no life it can stir, or a memory of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A tree used for idols and lumber and fire, or one that has planted to truly inspire. A tree with no real meaning or class, or one to remind you of Christmas." Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. I just want to start this morning as we do as a church body, just as a time to come before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and pray to him in the stillness and the privacy of our own heart and our own mind. So just take your time there to slow and clear your mind, humble our hearts before him, and just ask God to speak to you individually and us corporately here this morning. Precious Jesus, Almighty, infinite Father, I thank you for your child that was born in a manger that first Christmas night. God, even last night as I sat in here in the sanctuary and it was completely dark except for the light that was given by this tree that we've decorated your sanctuary with. Reminded me, O God, of the light of the world that was sent that first Christmas night to be born in that manger for the purpose of being nailed to the cross for my sin. And God, you have told us to be the light of the world, so may we let it burn brightly. I pray, O God, that we would not become consumed with ourselves or with our programs or to lose sight of what we're doing here as your church. Father, that we would stay focused on our Savior, Jesus the Messiah, the Christ child, the light of the world. God, I thank you for bringing us together this morning, and I pray that you would be exalted today. Lord, we need you, not just this morning or on Sundays, but every moment of every day. Strengthen those who are weary. Encourage the brokenhearted and the downtrodden. Lift our eyes and our minds towards the one true living God. And Father, may you be exalted here today. As we sing to you, as we praise you, as we preach your word, may you have the preeminence, the spotlight in all things. Father, we thank you for hearing us this day and for your presence here this morning. For in the name of Jesus, we pray all things, and for your glory alone, we ask it. Amen.
We're going to ask everybody to stand, and we're going to praise the Lord in a Christmas hymn, the First Noel, hymn number 136, the First Noel. Bethlehem going through their mind besides me, like every scene through the song. All right, I just want to make sure I wasn't alone.
This star tonight, to the north west, more than the heaven, it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay, but over the where Jesus lay, Noel, Noel.
Boy, it's great having Christmas songs, isn't it? I've been singing those since August, I think. Well, shalom. If you asked the kings last night, that's about the only phrase I got right all night. I messed up a couple times, but they picked it up. Speaking of kings, we actually had people who came from Queens, New York last night. And I said, well, we have kings, now we have queens. But they traveled a long way. They came last year, and they said they enjoyed it so much, they came back all the way from Queens. It's pretty amazing. And there was a couple people from Preston. They said they heard it on WYHS. I guess Pastor was interviewed, and they heard that this was the only live walk through Bethlehem in the state. And so they wanted to come and see it. So it's, Bruce, I think 260 people you counted? Is that about right? Yeah, so 260? Around there, yeah. So good crowd, and tonight's going to be even more. I'm sure the word's gone out, and there'll be a lot of people here tonight. What a blessing it was to be here and see all the people enjoying and hearing the story unfold right before them, and then hearing Pastor's message at the end. It was a great night, and it'll be another good one tonight. So speaking of that, tonight is from 4 to 8, and we're being asked to be here, those who are being part of it, to be here at 2:30. To get everything ready to go, and we'll be ready, right? Amen? And so next Saturday is Mom's Day Out with hot chocolate, and the Word of Life teams will be taking care of the kids while moms, dads, whatever, can go shopping or do whatever they might want to do. So I assume you have to sign up for that, and there's a sign-up sheet on the foyer, table in the foyer. And in the bulletin that says communion is going to be next Sunday, but it's today. We'll be having communion today, but next Sunday will be a business meeting for church members after Sunday school. So please plan on, if you're a member, being here for that. I think that's it for the announcements for now, because we've got a lot of great things happening the rest of the morning here. We have ushers come forward, and we'll all stand. Let's do that, and we'll stand and recite Psalm 9:10. Let's go ahead and recite that together now. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9:10. And Gary, would you lead us in a prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here today. We thank you for your blessings, for your provisions. God, we just pray that as we take this tithes and offerings, we will use it through the Walk Through Bethlehem, through other outreach programs, to reach those that they will know the true meaning of this season, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Frank was saying that, you know, it's still on his mind about this walk through Bethlehem. And there are so many of us that are involved with this production. And I can't speak for any of you, but if you're involved, I don't know if you're feeling adrenaline. I know I'm running on pure adrenaline right now. I know Ray in the back is. I know probably Pastor is, Trent. But you know what? It's such an amazing production. If those of you who haven't come through yet, please come this afternoon, this evening. And we've done a lot of promotion to lead up to this. Maybe that's why people came from Queens, or maybe someone that knew someone in the church, whatever the case. But it's just so beautiful, and it's so wonderful. And I'm thinking there's nothing better, though, than to think that God gets the glory for this. But then I thought, wait a minute, there is something better. And it's the message of what the walk through Bethlehem was all about, which is we're giving people hope. It's the message of hope. And I'm not going to spoil it for any of you who haven't gone through yet, but there's 10 stations, and around 10 stations. And in each of the stations, the tour guides hint through a conversation about a Messiah's birth. So when you go through, if you can try to keep in mind, try to catch each of those hints. They all pertain to Scripture, and they all pertain to the coming of the Messiah's birth. And it's like the thread that weaves through this whole storyline, which eventually leads to the fact that the light of the world, the reason why we have this Christmas tree and we're looking at this light of the world, has been born to us to save us from our sins. Christ's message of hope is the golden thread that weaves through eternity. So this song is about the saving grace of Christ Jesus. And the only hope that we have is found in Christ alone. But I want to say, I came across this quote. It said, "Dear God, if today I lose my hope, please remind me that your plans are better than my dreams." Mm. And I wanted y'all to hear that, because that's like so powerful. And there's so much scripture that talks about his hope.
If everybody could stand up, we're going to continue to praise the Lord in song. All my hope is in Jesus. All my yesterdays are gone. All my sins are forgiven. What an awesome lyric they are. I got to tell you, it was so amazing to see the Lord use our pastor last night, as all the groups came through, and he just kept putting forth the word of God and telling people about their need for a Savior and the true story of Christmas. Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate that. We're excited about the crowd that's going to be there today, because tonight is the Christmas Walk in Clinton, and you know it's going to be like four or five times what we had last night. So I'm excited. Are you excited? Come on, we can't afford to be tired. Merry Christmas! I've been saying Merry Christmas for at least a week now, but last night we said a lot of times. And we'll be saying a lot more tonight. Speaking of Christmas, our new song for this month is a combination of Joy to the World and O Come Let Us Adore Him. And it's an awesome song. And you know, I just have to read this passage of scripture, which totally goes with Christmas in general, but the walk through Bethlehem and everything, just so we can all get in the shout for joy. The teens downstairs, by the way, we sang this Wednesday night, and girls, I gave them full out permission to yell shout, because that's what we do, because they're young and enthusiastic, unlike some of us older adults who need to be younger and more enthusiastic. You know what I'm saying? You can just do that for Jesus, okay? So don't be afraid to shout for joy. But listen, Luke 2, verse 8 says, you could probably quote it. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior was born. That's why we're doing this, to proclaim the truth of God's word. Follow us. It is not hard. You know joy to the world. It's a little different tune, but you'll be okay. Get ready to praise the Lord. Remember, we're going to shout. Here we go.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature
You think? Come on, we're excited about Jesus, right? Man, that was an awesome song. I love that song. I love that song. You know, here's another one that makes us think about the manger. Most all Christmas songs do, actually. Who is he in yonder stall? Hymn number 168, if you want to look in your book. Adore you, not just now, not just at Christmas, but every day of our lives. Help us to be faithful to that end. Lord God, we ask that your Holy Spirit will use us all as we seek to share the truth of your love and the true meaning of Christmas tonight. As Pastor brings your word even now, I pray your Holy Spirit will strengthen him, encourage him, use him in a mighty way. Lord God, may you touch his voice and give him the strength. As he is doing a lot of talking, but he's doing it to glorify you and share the truth of your word. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for the glorious weather you've blessed us with. And Lord God, we just pray that many lost will be found and come to know you through all that's said and done in this body of believers here at Clinton Bible Fellowship. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' holy name, everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
I thought that was very appropriate with what we're about to remember in partaking of the Lord's Supper, the communion. Thank God my yesterday is gone. I am not what I used to be. My sins have been washed white as snow, as it says in Isaiah 1:18. I am a new creation, new creature, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5. You know, I love it when my enemy likes to bring up my past. I remind him of his future through the power of Jesus Christ. And my old man is dead because God has made me new. Thank you so much for singing along with Vanessa and Vanessa for doing that again. Deacons, we're going to ask you to come forward at this time, if you would, please, as we prepare to partake of communion, the Lord's Supper here this morning. For many of you who are visiting with us, and you've been here maybe perhaps with us before, we believe in open communion here at this church and what that simply means. You do not have to be a member of this church to partake of the Lord's Supper. You do, however, in accordance with biblical scripture and the mandate that we see there, have to be a member of God's family. That simply means that you have had to profess him at some point as Lord and Savior. You have ask God to forgive you of your sins, you profess him as your Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a very sacred thing. It's a very serious thing that we see that we want to be biblical in, one of the many things that we do here at the church. I read out of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," you ever thought about that, that here it was that what was coming to Jesus Christ, and yet he took time to have supper and dine with his disciples? I know it's what we have here today, and God has a reason for everything, but just consider that, that in his darkest hour that was fast approaching, Jesus Christ had time for his followers. And it says here, "On the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" You know, a very visual thing, the new covenant. Those little critters out there in the pens out front, those are some of the things that they would take and slaughter for the atonement, the sins in the Old Testament, to make sacrifice for the sins of the people. Well, that's no longer needed. That's not necessary, even as it says in the book of Hebrews. That wasn't going to take away our sin, the blood of bulls and heifers and cows. But the blood of the Lamb of God, is what covers all of our sin. And this is the blood of the new covenant. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Father, we come before you this morning as we remember the memorial that you have given to us. That night before you were crucified, I just thank you, I praise you, that we can look back upon what you have done, what you have said, what your victory is, that we can stand affirmed in the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of your shed blood. Thank you for your atoning sacrifice. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for taking my place at the cross of Calvary. We praise you, Almighty God, and ask that each of us here today would now reflect upon what it is that you did, and that also, Father, we would examine our own heart and our own mind. If there's any sinful way in us that we have not professed to you and repented of, may you bring that before us now, that we would offer that to you and ask for your forgiveness. We love you, Lord Jesus. May you be exalted. For in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen. And when he had broken bread, he took it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Father God, we do praise you and we do thank you for the affirmation we see in the book of Isaiah that through your stripes we are healed. Our chastisement was placed upon you. I thank you, Father, for being the intercessor on our behalf. And now as we turn towards the cup that is remembrance, a reminder to all of us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But it is the blood of the spotless Lamb of God that washes us as clean and as new and as white as the driven snow. We love you. Thank you for this sacrifice. For in your name, Jesus, we pray it. Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, I pray that our remembrance of you and your sacrifice and what you have done for us at the cross of Calvary doesn't end here. May we only consider what it is that you have done, Father. May we not just remember it when we have communion. For it is a daily thing that we need to be reminded of, that the blood of Jesus was given to us all, and that grace and that mercy flows from the cross. And Father, we praise you for that. I pray now, Lord, as we enter into your service and break open your word, the word of life, the bread of life, that your people would be fed, that minds would be opened, that hearts would be softened. Father, that souls would gather together into your eternal kingdom, and that your kingdom would be grown for your glory's sake. Speak through your humble servant this morning, and may your words be spoken. For in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.